I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 8:03 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street, just across from Franklin Elementary in Mankato. During these days of pandemic precautions, our regular services are suspended, but we invite you to find out more about us at oslcmankato.org. Even so, we're glad to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ, even now, and to everyone. The disciple Thomas wasn't there on Sunday evening of Easter Sunday when Jesus appeared to his disciples. Judas, of course, was dead. That leaves 10 disciples who were gathered on Sunday evening in a locked room in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Easter. Peter and John had been to the empty tomb after the women had told them what they found. Mary Magdalene, hanging around in the garden, had seen the Lord after mistaking him to be the gardener, but we're told that she was so terrified that she didn't tell anybody that day. So what the disciples know for sure is that the Roman guard at Jesus' tomb were gone, and the stone had been rolled away. The veil that had been over Jesus' face was neatly folded and set aside. It seems that Peter, as usual, was jumping to conclusions about this. But John believed that the Lord had been raised. Although, as far as John knew, no one had seen him yet. Where Thomas was, we're not told. It could have been something quite ordinary, allowing Jesus to use his absence for our lesson today. What had happened? How could things have gone so wrong? Remember, they didn't yet understand any of this. All at once, Jesus appeared among them in the locked room. And the first thing that Jesus says is, "Peace be with you." Now, in their language, that's just one word. It's what you might say to somebody who's frightened or startled. In our everyday language, we might say, "Relax," or we could translate it, "Be at peace." But do remember that when Jesus commands something, he makes us able to do it. So I imagine that the guys at first jumped at his appearance, startled and all. And with a word, Jesus calms them down. And this was no ghost or vision of Jesus. He showed them his hands and his side. Yes, he had been crucified. But look, it really is him, alive, talking with them. Now, consider a time in your life when you might have been like the disciples, feeling helpless and alone and afraid. You're confused and afraid because you don't know what's going to happen next. Your world has fallen apart and you don't know what to do because you don't know what's happening. Whatever it is, you're helpless to stop or control it. Now into that picture that you have in your mind, suddenly the Lord appears. And immediately he says to you, "Be at peace. It's okay." And then you are. Your fear evaporates. Your heart settles down. You recognize him. And you know that this is no dream or vision. It's the Lord. Which maybe ought to terrify you. Because after all, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing right there next to you. But it doesn't, because he's given you his peace. I expect that this will be similar to the way it is for those who know that they are about to die. Death is the great unknown. We are powerless against it. We've never seen it. We've never been through it before. What will it be like? So it's understandable that we would fear it be confused and be quite anxious. We get excited and anxious about anything that we've never done before. But then Jesus will appear, and we will hear him give us his peace. And by his word, the fear and the confusion will be gone, and we will have his peace. We will recognize him, the crucified and victorious Lord. So I think it's very helpful for us that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the other 10. 10 people that Thomas knew and trusted told him about what they had experienced. But remember, he had not heard or seen the Lord or received the comfort of his peace. He didn't deny what the others had seen or heard. He wanted to hear and see Jesus for himself. In fact, I think he's not only open to the idea that Jesus is alive, but I think he also wanted it to be true, and he believed it could be true. It's just that being told about it from somebody else wasn't enough for him. He wanted to see, hear, and even touch Jesus for himself. Thomas went a whole week like this. I'm sure the others told him again and again, "Don't worry, it's the Lord." But remember, Thomas knew Jesus. He had spent more than 2 years hearing Jesus teach, seeing Jesus do miracles, but he had not seen, heard, or touched the risen and glorified Jesus for himself. For a week, there was nothing. Just waiting and wondering. You and I are very much like Thomas. You've had others tell you about their experiences with Jesus. Maybe you've never had an experience like theirs, but you know who Jesus is. You've learned what he taught, and you know and believe in what he has done. But you still may wrestle with what we call doubt. I think we shouldn't call it doubt, but we do. Or maybe simply you might long for something more. Some kind of assurance that comes from seeing him or hearing him for yourself. I know what that is. I'm living by faith and not by sight, just like you. Going to the seminary doesn't mean that you have visions of Jesus or you hear voices any more than anybody else. I long for the day when I will see him and hear him and touch him for myself. The Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. The Apostle John saw Jesus in heaven when we're all there. That's the book of Revelation. Thousands were present on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. Others saw the miracles that the apostles did that validated their message, but not us. None of us were there. We are separated from all of that by thousands of miles and thousands of years. But here's the thing. Thomas wrestled with this for a week, and then he did get to hear and see and even touch Jesus for himself. A week later, on the next Sunday, the disciples were again gathered, and this time Thomas was with them when the Lord appeared. Yes, Jesus did say to Thomas, "Stop disbelieving and believe." But please notice that Jesus didn't reject or condemn Thomas. He didn't get angry with Thomas. "Why didn't you believe what they told you?" Just because he had wanted something more? Instead, Jesus gave Thomas what he longed for. He had just had to wait a little longer for it. And Jesus said that those who have to wait to see and hear him for themselves, they're the blessed ones. I think Thomas had thought of himself as something less than the others because he had not yet witnessed for himself the risen Jesus. And you and I may be tempted at times to think that we're something less than those who are already with him in heaven or those who've had visions or experiences that we haven't had. But Jesus says, no. The ones who believe even though they haven't seen, they're the ones who are truly blessed. Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop disbelieving and be believing." That's as close as a wooden translation or a literal translation as I can give you. In other words, Don't think that you don't believe because you're living by faith. No, living by faith is believing. Are you ever concerned that when you die, you're going to meet Jesus only to be told that you weren't good enough? Are you worried that somehow you're missing something or that you're less than other Christians because you didn't do this or do that or have this opportunity or that experience? Thomas felt that he could not be sure that he was okay with the Lord or that he was included as one of the Lord's men until he met Jesus for himself. He was just being obstinate. He was being hard on himself for no good reason. Jesus told him, "Stop badly believing and be believing." Jesus didn't call him an unbeliever. He didn't say, "Stop doubting." I'm sorry we even use that word. He says disbelieving, which is like badly believing, but it's still believing. Stop badly believing and be believing. He even went on to say, those who have not seen and yet believe are blessed. He's telling Thomas, yeah, trust me, you're blessed. All this faith this week and you hadn't seen? These guys saw and they believe, but you believe without even seeing. Now I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth, but you kind of get the idea. So of course you and I look forward to meeting the Lord Jesus. That's going to be so much more than just hearing about him from a preacher or a teacher. More than just hearing about him with the ears of faith and seeing him only with the eyes of faith. But wanting to meet him face to face, wanting something more, is not a sign of unbelief or of doubt. No. It shows that you already believe. For who looks forward to meeting somebody if they never exist? And if Jesus is not the Son of God and Lord of all, then how can you be afraid of meeting him? It's hard to put this into English without making it confusing. But Jesus goes on to ask Thomas, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" Usually when there's a question, a rhetorical question like that, the answer we expect is, well, no, not really. Thomas was looking forward to seeing Jesus. Thomas wanted to see Jesus. That's true. And that is evidence that he had believed in Jesus all along. Having faith in another person doesn't mean you have proof of their existence or proof of their love. If you could prove those things, you wouldn't be asked to believe them. But you don't have to see tomorrow's sunrise to believe that it'll happen and to live your life accordingly. We live today knowing that tomorrow will come, and we look forward to it, and we get ready for it, even without proof that it's going to happen. So stop living like you don't believe and realize you do. And if you're anxious about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, then realize that's only because you know that you will. Stop waiting for proof and realize that you already believe without the proof. And what's more is that you already know that when you meet Jesus, it's going to be without any sin because he's already taken your sin away. It will be without any fear of punishment because he's already taken all the punishment on himself. That's what the marks of his crucifixion on his hands and his side tell you. Christ has died. Christ has been raised. Your sins are gone. Your ransom is paid. He lives and he reigns, and because of that cross whose marks he bears, you are already his own beloved child. Stop worrying. Start rejoicing.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.